Good day and welcome to the Magnet third quarter and 9 months 2020 trading update and financial highlights conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Albert Arvedikov. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us to discuss Magnet's operating and unaudited financial results for the third quarter of 2020. With me to review the results are, as usual, our CEO, Jan Dunning, and acting CFO, Dmitry Ivanov. The announcement and respective presentation are, as usual, available on our website. And after our remarks, we look forward to taking your questions. I would also like to remind you that today's financial results are based on the management accounts. And with this, I will now turn the call over to Magnet CEO and President, Jan Dunning. Jan, please.
Yeah, thank you, Albert, and good day, everyone. Thanks for joining. This is, of course, a very challenging and extraordinary time that we're in. And as a retailer, we have specific challenges in that area. We're in at the frontier to our customers, but also to our employees. We take huge responsibility to take care about our customers, to serve their daily needs, maintain necessary safety measures, and simply make people's life better. Looking at the team, I'm actually very proud of our joint team efforts to deliver all of that. I would like, from this space as well, to thank all the employees for their incredible contribution and dedication in this hectic time. For us, there is no choice. We see customers make choices in coming less often, but as an employee of stores or as an employee of distribution centers, you have to be there every day, take the risks. Having said that, we see, and that's also then the contribution and the reward that we get, we see a continuous inflow of new customers, marked improvement in NPS scoring, and reflecting the priority given to customer satisfaction. Magnet is gaining market share quickly as we are improving. We've invested in value for customers and continue to make strategic progress as the business moves within its turnaround. There are still numerous uncertainties around grocery market dynamics, but this brings confidence. The chief results are sustainable. We're on the right track. This quarter brought another set of strong results underpinned by fantastic performance of the like-for-like stores. Results came above our initial expectations, despite the macro headwinds and lack of additional stimulus from the government. We showed double-digit sales growth driven by hefty uplift in the mature stores and, at a much lesser extent, by selling space growth. We demonstrated strongest year-on-year margin recovery, over 100 basis points, and what is even more important, these came without dips and or hikes like we had last year and the years before. So the margin is under control. Another focus this year is on deleveraging, like I mentioned earlier on the earlier call, and improvement of the working capital cycle. First signs speak for themselves at the moment. Yes, this year has tested our business in ways we've never, ever imagined, but it was also rich in lessons. Throughout the crisis, we have been guided by key priorities. Our results evidence we are in the right lane. So, in a combination with progress made on balance sheet and cash flows, we may find ourselves next year with completely different financial position. Coupled with a remarkable rise in store returns, this looks like a good foundation for faster growth to come. Overall, we may enhance the objective and ambitions that we have set for ourselves. Now, let me pass the floor to Dmitry to walk you through our results in more details, and I'll come back to you at the end of the call.
Thank you, Jan. Good day, everyone. Let me tell you now a bit more of detail on quarter developments. We have strong like-for-like sales growth in the mature stores, driving total company sales. Despite slower expansion, sales growth remained double digits, supported by performance of like-for-like stores. As a result, total sales growth of 12% was a combination of like-for-like sales growth of 7% and selling space growth of only 3%. Main contribution to like-for-like sales growth came from mature stores opened before 2019. Our younger stores continued delivering strong double-digit like-for-like sales growth, but share of these first-year stores in the like-for-like panel decreased to 3.4%. And in third quarter, just over 600 stores entered like-for-like panel. Like-for-like sales growth was strong in small format and even accelerated in cosmetics. At the same time, like-for-like sales growth in supermarkets was negative. This format was penalized during pandemic, especially stores in the shopping malls. Another company-specific reason was a decision not to repeat bulk coupon discount exercise lasting for 6 weeks last year. On a relative basis, we didn't gain additional sales, but on the other hand, we didn't burn margin. Other positive and negative macro factors influencing overall trading in the quarter were late start of domestic tourist season and limited foreign travel activity, lack of government consumer stimulus after last portion in July, spiking food CPI despite traditional harvest season, record high savings made by consumers in second quarter, No stockpiling or forward buying customer behavior in the food stores, but more self-restricted spending for non-food, services, vacations, and entertainment. We also experienced unusually warm weather with elevated demand for summer assortments. And altogether, we estimated that this had a positive effect of around 2.8% on a like-for-like basis. Other company-specific trends included some stabilization of traffic, but still lower visit frequency. High average spends per visit overcompensating weaker traffic. Compared to second quarter, drivers of like-for-like ticket growth were trading up, slightly higher on shelf inflation, and at a lesser extent, volume growth. Strong trading up was a result of ongoing assortment change and inflow of more affluent customers. We continue to attract customers from larger formats, some small players, and unorganized retail. Thus, our market share increased by 1.3 percentage points up to 10.8% year-to-date. And all regions demonstrated sound like-for-like results in each month of the quarter, with Northwestern Moscow in a double-digit growth zone, outpacing the rest. Promo. Promo intensity was lower year-on-year, with our focus on efficiency. Promo activity in the industry remained rational. It has moderately picked up compared to second quarter, driven by stabilization of traffic after lockdown and some seasonal increase. At the same time, customers continued looking for value deals, making preference towards better assortment, quality, decent pricing, service level, and safety. We made a deliberate choice to follow our smart promo tactics and didn't intensify promo competition. With this, promo share went down year on year while slightly picked up quarter on quarter. In parallel, we are working on personalization of our promo activity, increasing penetration of our loyalty card and gradually replacing coupons and casual discounts. Now, a bit on our recent current trading, what we see in October. I would say our trading is fantastic. In October, we continued seeing strong overall trading results with double-digit sales growth. And it continues by far outpacing space growth. Every day we are looking at daily sales, and now we can expect in October to be one of the best months in like-for-like sales growth. And we do not observe abnormal stockpiling trends as much, but there is some increased demand for dry food and basic necessities was noted recently due to accelerating cases of COVID infections in Russia. As a result, visit frequency went down versus previous months, but ticket size started growing again. Number of articles in the basket is now the main driver of this trend. With that, I will turn to our financial results and start with gross profit margin. Gross profit margin showed strongest year-on-year recovery of 134 basis points to 23.8% of sales. We had positive impact from the following factors: improved commercial terms with suppliers, slowed down promo share by 2 percentage points, which also came with better promo funding from suppliers and higher promo margin. Our shrinkage improved by 69 basic points, despite increased share of fresh food categories in sales. Supply chain costs improved as well on lower transportation expenses. And we also have favorable forward mix. All these positive factors were partly mitigated by the continuous investments into loyalty program, reaching 69 basic points in the third quarter and higher share of wholesale segment. If you look at the dynamics on quarterly basis, it reflects some seasonality driven by assortment mix, moderately higher promotional activity, and higher penetration of loyalty card in sales. SG&A expenses remained under strict control. SG&A as percent of sales were 54 basic points down despite negative impact of COVID of around 13 basic points or 500 million rubles. COVID costs were, as in the previous quarter, predominantly related to payments to frontline personnel and purchase of health and safety protection items. Personnel costs went slightly up on the back of increased payment to retail personnel, which was partially offset by growing in-store productivity and record low staff rotation. Utilities expenses increased due to annual electricity rates indexation and higher frequency of cleaning in our stores. Marketing expenses decreased on lower promo activity and more efficient marketing tools. Lease expenses improved by 40 basic points year-on-year on increased sales density and better rates per square meter, which offset growing share of lease space. We continue our renegotiation campaign on rental rates with landlords as one of the measures to counteract the impact of the outbreak. Depreciation of assets as percent of sales improved by 40 basic points, driven by growing sales density across all formats and slow expansion. And other expenses also remained under strict control. We also note quarter-on-quarter dynamics of SG&A expenses, and it was almost flat despite negative operating leverage effect. As a result, EBITDA margin improved by 133 basic points year-on-year and stood at 7.2%. For the third consecutive quarter, EBITDA margin is improving, driven by gross profit margin recovery and better SG&A expense. Adjusted for LTI expenses, EBITDA margin would be 8 basic points higher or 7.3%. Net interest expenses improved by 23 basic points thanks to reduced cost of debt. In the third quarter, we had foreign exchange loss of around 900 million rubles related to direct import operations. And overall, as a result, net income increased 2.7 times to 9.6 billion rubles, with a margin of 2.5%, and the effective tax rate was 23.5%. Working capital is another strong improvement. Working capital improved by 10 billion rubles, driven by inventory optimization. In third quarter, we managed to decrease inventories by 9.7 billion rubles compared to the end of June, despite ongoing improvements of on-shelf availability, increased share of grocery format, and supplier inflation. Trade and other payables also increased. They increased by 3.6 billion rubles in third quarter as a result of measures aimed at extension of payment terms. This positive was partly offset by increased account receivables by 3.1 billion rubles. And we reiterate our focus to deliver improvements in the working capital in the second half of the year. Also, we are enhancing our financial position, substantially improving cost of debt and increasing debt duration. As of the end of the quarter, our gross debt was 184 billion rubles, which was 25 billion rubles lower versus second quarter. With 5.6 billion rubles of cash on hand, net debt stood at 178 billion rubles. We are using the momentum of historically low market rates to reduce cost of debt and improve debt duration or debt maturity. That duration of debt portfolio increased from 17 months at the beginning of the year to 23 months now. Debt profile has also improved. As of now, long-term bank debt and bonds account for 94% of total portfolio, and all are at fixed rates. Cost of debt dropped to historical lows of 6.2%, down 1.6 percentage points year-on-year. With 10 billion rubles bonds with 7.85% coupon rate coming due in December and some scheduled loan repayments at the rent, we expect cost of debt to continue falling this year closer to 6%. Net debt to EBITDA ratio, leverage at the end of the quarter, improved to 1.8 times, and we expect it to go down further by the rent. CAPEX guidance for 2020 decreased to 35-40 billion rubles. CAPEX in the third quarter stood at 7 billion rubles, and the amount for 9 months reached 19.3 billion rubles. New capital expenditures projections for 2020 is based on lower investments in expansion and redesign, economy gains from more efficient project execution, and some slippage for 2021. No changes were made with regard to already revised number of store openings and redesign programs for 2020. Due to pandemic, we had less openings in the second and third quarters, but we see strong pickup of our space growth starting from this quarter. The number of openings in the fourth quarter will be already much higher than in any previous quarter of this year. This is well reflected in the remaining CAPEX plans for the fourth quarter. And we are well on track with our digital initiatives. As you know, in September, we launched our e-pharmacy and started to provide click-and-collect service from over 100 pharmacies throughout Moscow and Moscow region. In the weeks to come, we will announce our online initiatives in the grocery part of the business. You have also seen us announcing our first metropolitan convenience store concept, which is already open in Moscow. The store has a combination of new layout, assortment, and latest technologies offering high-tech environment to the customers. On European transformation, we now start our work with selected integrators. In 2 years, we will build all we need on piloted volume to route it out in the next 3 years. So, in total, about 5 years for full scope transformation, including goods movement and logistics, HR, finance, non-commercial procurement, and real estate. Our digital initiatives will evolve in the future with greater focus on implementing of new technologies in the business and for our customers. With this, we will still maintain our strong focus on improvement of our brick-and-mortar business. And last but not least is our impressive results of recent M&A activity. In third quarter, we entered premises of Euroross and Intertorque in the Northwest region, taking over 166 stores. This has significantly extended our footprint in that region. We highlight fast integration of stores into our network and sales performance above initial expectations. We are excited with our dynamics specifically in St. Petersburg, where like-for-like sales growth remains double digits. And we continue to look for bolt-on value-creative acquisitions of small to medium size. And now I will give the floor back to Jan for some closing remarks. Thank you, Jan.
Yeah, thanks, Nima. Yeah, just a few notes before we move to the Q&A. Yeah, the crisis brought additional challenges, which we've spoken about, but showed also our ability to seize opportunities to create value. We're more than satisfied with the progress we're making so far. The team has been able to make a significant and a lasting contribution towards improving sales densities and keeping margins sustainable. And regular analysis shows better returns across all formats and regions. With stronger balance sheet, and that was one of our targets, cash generation and working capital improvements, we may find ourselves next year with an absolute different financial position, like I mentioned before. And this serves as a good foundation for faster expansion going forward and, in general, heightened ambitions in the market itself. Of course, in a combination with returning surplus cash to shareholders, where we don't see downside risk, but potentially upside. Thanks for listening, and I think we're ready for questions.
Operator, thank you. We can start the Q&A session.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question, and we will pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. And our first question comes from Carol Panarin. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, everyone. Thank you for the call. A few questions from me, please. Firstly, could you elaborate on your growth ambitions next year? How materially do you want to accelerate openings? And could faster expansion mean some pressure on profitability, or you think margin increase could continue next year?
Yeah. I'll answer that one, Carol. The growth ambition are actually coming from the focus on returns. So what we see is that the business in itself, with the like-for-like performance and the modeling and the CVP, so the customer value proposition that we add into this, is delivering very good returns. We do a quarterly post-investment analysis on the stores. And yeah, there is no reason not to have higher ambition for growth. And we see that higher ambition for growth in the cosmetics business. We see that ambition as well in the the convenience. We will focus more on the customer value proposition implementation on the hyper and supermarket business. So you will see us do more remodeling there next year, as we see that the remodelings also deliver us very good returns. And if that is confirmed further, then of course also there we will, for the first time in years, next year, do some additional openings as well. Having said that, we also have taken the decision to roll out further and to extend the pilot of the Magnet City, which is actually the, call it a grab and go, which in the pandemic situation is is not well positioned, but we see that with us, it runs actually quite well. And we see also quarter on quarter, like for like improvements. So we've decided to extend that pilot to 50 to 100 stores. And the one that we have actually accelerated is the discount business. We have, call it the Mayachina is the name for the stores, or My Price stores, which is a store that sells our price entry and call it value articles, P1, P2, with a very low cost structure in which we actually offer those goods as well with a lower price than what we do in our normal stores. Those are stores that are, of course, low in rent because it's a different concept. And therefore also the locations are a bit more complicated, but we see that those stores actually on a sales density level and return level are good investments. So we started, I think the first one we opened end of July, beginning of August, and we took by now already the decision to have at least in the next half year 100 of those stores opened. So that's a bit the direction that we go into. And then what Dima already mentioned earlier, we do of course a lot of initiatives on the e-commerce side, mainly also given the current circumstances with the pandemic, which clearly has a, call it, tailwind impact on e-commerce. We've started several projects with e-commerce players, where we are actually their provider of goods. But I think by end of next, we will also announce our own capabilities of having developed an e-grocery platform and also starting to deliver ourselves. And that will be in various alternatives, because we on e-commerce, we're actually more in call also the piloting stage. We do express delivery, we do the dark store, and we will do the regular e-commerce delivery. And then see what is the best model that will work for us. And potentially, if they're all working for us, then we'll keep all of them. But so there's on the back of actually the improvement and the turnaround of the existing business. And bear in mind, we've got the biggest network of stores in the country. So if we can tap out of that base of stores more, that does not require additional investments, and therefore we think that the initiatives that we're having in plan for next year will actually not affect the returns that much. Then your second question was more on the profitability. As we are return driven, we do not believe that faster growth, it will come at the cost of profitability, unless we're actually overstretching ourselves and do incredible big growth ambitions. That's not the plan. What we will be looking at, because we see that the market is also shaping, is acquisitions. Are there, and that's also mainly stimulated by the experience that we now have in the Northwest. We see that our capability of integration and picking up and fixing is actually, yeah, very good. And we also see, by the way, that those like the Intertoy stores are coming at exciting returns. So I don't think that it is a threat for profitability. And if it is, then we'll just turn that down, because there's no reason for me in a business the size of my need to do things that are irrational.
Yeah, and maybe let me add to this. Retail is about volume and volume increase.
Yeah.
And volume increase is driving two big things. First one is better suppliers conditions, better suppliers terms, and scale effect on costs. With volume increase, we will gain on operating leverage.
Well, I don't think that faster that we the growth that we have in mind for next year will jeopardize our profitability. On the contrary, I think what you said, Dima, might actually contribute.
Kirill, I hope that answers your questions, right?
Yeah, it does. Thank you. Thank you very much. I have just one follow-up on working capital. You've been focused on this for a while, and it looks like the results have started to come through. Could you elaborate on the initiatives that drove improvement in Q3? I think you mentioned some cross-functional initiatives in your press release. Maybe you could give some examples of those. And is there a medium-term target or KPI in terms of inventory turnover days, or it's premature to talk about that? Thanks.
Yeah, we were focused on working capital improvements quite a lot, and put really a lot of efforts on getting these improvements in this year already. We were focused on three main areas of working capital improvements, which are inventories, account payables, and account receivables. With inventories, where we already achieved the biggest improvements with collaboration inside company with supply chain teams, with commercial teams and operational teams, we developed several reporting systems which helped us to monitor inventory structure and make it more transparent and thus manage inventory in-outs and reduction. Also, we were very much focused on optimization of our promo forecasting in order to buy exactly what we need for promo, not more, not less, which also helped us to optimize promo inventory levels. Also, we looked at clusterization of our inventories by ABC classification and adjust our ordering system with more items of A and B, which are highly in demand, and less C and D items, and really a lot of other things which altogether by small parts brought quite significant improvements. With regard to accounts receivables, we were focused on decreasing of our accounts overdue with suppliers and mostly focused on speeding up documents flow. Yeah. With electronic document flow system, which we introduced with the biggest suppliers, and so this had already some results. And with payables, so this is our regular negotiation campaign and process with suppliers, where we steadily improving our payment base, but there is still a huge potential, to my opinion, in this area. Yeah, and with regard to KPIs. For example, this is my personal KPI, working capital improvement. Yeah, and there's also KPIs for working capital improvement for all linear managers who can have an impact on this metric.
Kirill, these all projects mentioned by Dmitry are ongoing, and we expect lasting contribution from these, including in the next quarters to come.
Okay, great. That's clear. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Elena Jornova. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Congratulations with very solid results. Also have a few questions. So the first one is, can you quantify us the contribution of on-shelf inflation to like-for-like ticket growth in the third quarter?
Lena, first of all, good evening. Nice to hear you. If I'm not mistaken, on-shelf inflation contributed around 4-5%, maybe slightly less.
Actually, I think it was because on-shelf inflation started to move up in September.
Yeah.
We started actually on a very low level. So I think, Lena, it's around 3.8%.
That's more close. Because I'm referring already to October. But in July and August it was much lower.
But what we're just to help you here a bit. So what we see recently is we came from a pretty low inflation environment, but due to the exchange rate changes, you see that currently the over the last month of September and now in October as well, we see inflation, on-shelf inflation moving up. But having said that, procurement inflation in October is higher than our on-shelf inflation. So we're pushing back a bit.
Mm-hmm, that's interesting. The second point I wanted to discuss was actually on operating leverage. So, to be honest, I wasn't that impressed with operating leverage effect in the third quarter, because if I strip out depreciation from your OPEX, then in fact OPEX as percentage of sales was flat, and I would have expected some more tangible improvement considering that you've had 7% like-for-like sales growth and similar sales density expansion. So maybe you can share your thoughts on my comment and tell us what are the expectations going into Q4 and next year, especially considering that you really are keen to intensify growth.
Yeah. Let me give a bit of high-level picture. So this part of it was already mentioned at the call. Is we have, as we were confronted with the heritage of a previous team, we had to increase the salaries, especially in the big boxes, which we have done in the beginning of the year, second quarter. So that has impact in the third quarter. Then, as you have noticed, we have been investing quite a lot in management structure, and especially in the digital management structure, which is on top as well. What I think is important for you to realize is that we keep on focusing on operating efficiency, and we see that we have the results there. But if you want to change things, then in certain areas, you need to invest first as well, and so that's the deliberate choice. I think Dima can go much more in details.
Let me add to this. Also, what is quite important, we improve very much service and look and feel in our stores.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, we significantly decrease staff rotation in our stores, and this has it result in like for like sales improvement.
But also an average cost.
And also, And also, please, Lena, don't forget that every year we have inflation on our utilities, just electricity, fuel, all these monopolian things, which every year add from 5 to 10% of increase. And also, which is quite important, we due to COVID, we spent a bit more on cleaning inside stores, on safe and cleaning measures to keep our customers and our employees in a more comfortable and safety conditions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. That's clear. My other question was a follow-up on Kirill's question on working capital. So, Dima, is there some sort of a minimum level of cash release from working capital that you think you can certainly achieve this year? I mean, there could be upside, but is there like a minimum number which you certainly know you can get?
Lena, you know, I would not like to promise you anything, yeah? But believe me, there is quite a strong potential, especially for this year, yeah?
Lena, just to, because maybe you recall that we had a meeting as well at the end of the second quarter where I mentioned that, and also by the way on the call, there was a plan of what's the focus for which period of the year. So yeah, remember the second half year of 2019. So my first half year as a CEO, the focus was on get traffic back, get store performance better. Make people feel that it's a store that you can go to. Then the second part, so the second half of, and which is the first half of this year, it was margin regain. So we saw customers coming in, but we didn't see this translated into better margins, which we managed. And then now the second half of this year, we are focusing on working capital improvement. So we have our stock meetings. We have our overdue receivable meetings. And by doing this, making the organization aware and also coordinating this, you see that that also is now starting to improve. Therefore, the fourth quarter is still in that plan. We would like to see the stock coming down further. As you know, by the end of the year, our payables are always more than stock levels. I think by the end of the year, we'll see also our net debt coming down and leverage coming down. Yeah. That's also what we need, 'cause if you wanna have a sound financial position, that's what you need if you want to grow. Like I mentioned, it is consolidation time, we believe. Why not make sure that we're ready in any way that we can join those potential biddings.
As Jan mentioned, Jelena, we are absolutely confident we finish the year with absolutely different financial position, and part of that comes from working capital improvement. We will continue working on that to get more upside by the end of the year.
Okay, but then on leverage, where do you think you can be at the end of the year in terms of net debt to EBITDA?
I think we'll have a pretty big improvement. I can give you a range, but around the 1.5-1.6.
Okay. That's good enough for me. Thank you. The final question I had was about recent color on hard discounters. I know I'm asking it every time, but I'm really curious to know how this format is performing.
Now, I hope you read my Forbes interview on discounting.
Which one? I mean, probably I've missed that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, then you should look that up, so you will like. The discounting that we have is actually we had a couple of stores. I'll tell you a bit the history, Elena. We had a couple of stores which were just zero bottom line businesses. So what do? You use them to keep volume or you find some other purpose. Now, by analyzing this, the main reason, because you see that other stores perform, the main reason was location. Now, then you have a choice. You continue or you do something else. We decided to do something else, and then what are we going to do? We need to give customers a reason to come. What we did then is we reduced the number of SKUs to around 1,600 SKUs. We use, for a big part, our own production. As you know, we have 11 factories, and a lot of our private labels are made in our factories. We used that production volume to go to those stores. We call the stores Mayatjena, which is our price entry level. We have a concise but relevant range in the store at a price level which is around 10%-15% lower than our normal store base, which is also below the what we call hard discounters like Zwettafor for fixed price. What we see is that indeed people, there is a customer group that is attracted to this, that makes that additional mile, and we saw stores growing around 30%-40% of sales. We see that the stores now are having positive operating contribution, where in the past it was around zero and some of them even minus. Looking at the investment level, which is also 30%-40% lower than the regular stores, we see that the returns on that model is actually quite interesting. Of course, the margin in itself, I don't expect there to have an EBITDA margin of 7%, but we have set ourselves a certain target, and that's what they are delivering. Now, looking at the returns, this is a business that deserves to grow, and that's what we're going to do.
Yes, Jan, thank you very much. I agree. That's all for me.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Maxim Nekrasov. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening. Thank you very much for the presentation, and congratulations with strong results. I wanted to follow up on your margin sustainability. So basically, you showed a very strong EBITDA margin improvement over the last couple of quarters to about 7%. But if we look next year and going forward, when you will have more openings and also considering the ERP and IT transformation, and as well as potentially higher promo activity as people start visit more stores, basically, what makes you sure and what are the key factors that will help you to sustain your EBITDA margin at above 7%?
This is going to be a bit of a long answer, but so what are we doing to sustain our margin? What we have started doing recently, we have invested in the commercial department by adding a procurement department. I have appointed a procurement director, directly responsible for own production, imports, private label. That the reason for this is that Magniet still had the import responsibilities and private label responsibilities in the category management sector, and that is not a good place to be. A retailer our size should have a professional import department. That's what we're going to start up. What does it mean? It means that we potentially will cut out a lot of the middlemen that we still are working with, and we are trying and try to create critical masses in different parts of our business. And I believe that that is going to contribute to margin. I also believe that with the growth, and bear in mind, especially in the growth of our cosmetics business, that we should be able to get rewards from suppliers, and tomorrow we have our supplier conference, and I tell you that the suppliers are actually very, very happy with the changes that they see in Magniet. And that should also be translated in a more on a higher level of collaboration with them, and therefore also a better gain on our side. And that's also what we have seen this year. Then the third factor, which you mentioned, is we have started the loyalty card, and the loyalty card provides you with a lot of insight and a lot of information. But we also, on the digital side, we have started our advanced analytics. And one of the first things that we've asked them to do is look into the effectiveness of promo. And we see that we actually can improve the effectiveness of promo much, much more than what we have done in the past in the traditional way. And we have now insight into cannibalization, into profitability, and we can make that happen better. And with the loyalty card, we also know what kind of campaigns are attracting what kind of customers and what's the total gain out of those customer groups. So in the advanced analytics, I think that there is also money there that we can tap from. And that's a basic principle from my side. As we now are a business that runs multiple formats, Magniet should start to focus much more on the mission of those formats. And what we have done is I saw that in the market, I hope that comes down, the market was not rational with regards to promotions. You have to have a promo and a promo intensity if you have a business that needs to draw customers out of town to your location, the hypermarket. But the convenience has a total different reason to go to. And of course, you need to do promotions, but you don't need to do the promotions in the intensity that you do in a hypermarket, because that's simply, first, not smart, second, does not add, and potentially, after a certain percentage of promo share, and that's also what the advanced analytics shows, you're actually cannibalizing your sales. So why would you do that? So by having that insight and spreading that insight in the organization and getting more control over what are we exactly doing, I believe that we still have an opportunity to take more money out of our trading. And we've seen that this year on the promo efficiency. By the way, bear in mind the margin that you look at. You know that there is a 0.7 investment. 0.7 investment into the loyalty card. So on top, we have been able to compensate that by better managing the business. And I think that's what we'll do going forward. Then on the supply chain, I think that's not a project of a year or a half a year. I think that's a multiple year project. But on the supply chain as well, we have a very efficient supply chain for the convenience store. We have a less efficient supply chain for the cosmetic store, and we have a disastrous supply chain for the hypers and the supers. So also there, we need to gain and get some additional margin over time out. So I think I answered the question on growth, which you also mentioned as a threat. As long as we are doing growth with a brain, which means I don't need to grow, I only need to grow if it makes sense. So growth is purely return driven. And as long as that's the case, and we follow up on analysis afterwards, we become smarter and smarter in finding the success factors for future growth. I am not concerned that growth is going to jeopardize my margin.
Yeah, and maybe let me add to this. With new tools we are implementing, with SAP implementation, with F&R implementation, this will also help us to improve our stock losses because of promo forecast accuracy, better accuracy. Yeah. And second thing, which is quite important, with volume growth and also with new technology sets and new systems implementation, we can leverage our scale effect more with head office costs and with admin costs, getting more positive impact from operating leverage.
So I hope, Marc, that gives you a bit of comfort.
Yes, thank you very much. Very clear. And I have another question on capital allocation and dividends. So basically, do you see potential to increase dividends for 9 months and the full year? And also on capital allocation, what kind of CapEx do you expect next year? What kind of increase are we talking about?
Let me, because it's the easiest answer, the last one, which is we're not guiding yet on CapEx next year. We're in the middle of the budgeting process and therefore have no approved budget yet with the board of directors. And now that I mentioned the board of directors are the guys that actually define the level of dividend that's going to be paid out. But let me give call it the management view. Looking at the business results and the improved profitability, we see no management or business reasons not to improve dividends. But it's not a decision that we take.
Maxime, I hope that answers your question,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
There is no white smoke yet, but I guess in the next time to come, you will hear us announcing the decision of the board when it's made.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's it for me.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Yulia Kazakovtseva. Please go ahead.
Hello. My question on like-for-likes. Do you see supermarkets like-for-likes positive in October, or it's still negative?
No, actually it is small, but it's positive.
And could you please elaborate a bit on those supermarkets which are in shopping malls? What do you see there?
Julia, it is clear because it's a very relevant question. It is clear, of course, that the the malls, as people are having changed their purchasing behavior into we go less often to stores because we want to run as little risk as possible, the stand-alone stores are performing better than the mall stores. Now, fortunately, we do not have a lot of mall stores. And actually, during the first wave of the pandemic, I think we had to close or limit the opening times of 4 stores only. So that didn't have an impact on our business at all.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot. It's clear.
Thank you. Any more questions, operator?
We have one additional question from Henrik Herbst. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. I've got a few questions, actually, and apologies. I dialed in a little bit late, so I might have missed. You might have answered this already. But the first question, I guess, is, I mean, in terms of the 70 bps drag on your margins from loyalty programs, should we now assume that that is peak? I think it's pretty similar to the drag in Q2. And at what point could that sort of reverse? I mean, it sounds like you want to, at some point, try to get suppliers to contribute to the promotions and loyalty and maybe do it a bit more efficient. So at what point, what do you think that could, how much of that could sort of be reversed over time, do you think? And then secondly, I guess your Grocery business is performing very strongly. To what extent do you think that is driven by competitors being in the malls, etc.? So basically your competitors not seeing as much traffic anymore. And the third question, I guess, is how much of your promos are actually covered by suppliers currently, and what do you think that could get to? And then the last question is, in terms of, I mean, all these new investments, I haven't covered Magnet for very long, but in terms of returns on those, what are your hurdles? Is it sort of cash flow, per share generative in year X, or return on invested capital, or what are the targets or hurdles when looking at those different investments? Thank you very much.
Thank you. The second question I didn't get total. It was related to traffic. Maybe you could repeat that, because the rest of the questions I got. But
was it related to the supermarkets and the malls, Henrik, right?
No. Sorry. The second question was on your Grocery business, which has been very strong. And to what extent do you think that benefited from your competitors being in malls? I guess.
Clear. Let me start with the loyalty question. Because it's a bit of a complicated question. It's not, of course, we ask suppliers to do joint activities with us, and certainly if you do personalized promos, whether there is a willingness to compensate or to pay for those, with our advanced analytics and also with our data, we expect next year to get part of the investments that we do monetized. But I think the biggest value, Henrik, in this loyalty card, and that's for me really worth the money, is you get a much more fact-based insight in your customer behavior and missions. And if you are a category manager, and certainly if you're in the convenience business where the competition is high, then you need to know what you're doing. You can't just go on the average temperature in the hospital. It's just you need to know what in my category should I add? What in my category should I skip? And I can give you a lot of simply details or experience that I have with this, but if we are able to help the category managers with data, actually to prepare the choice, then for them it becomes much easier and better. We will be able to be much more efficient and relevant on the shelf. And I think that's where my first gain is, because part of the CVP, of the customer value proposition, and that's also what we see, by the way, if you look at the impact and the returns of the remodelings, a pretty big part of that is actually the improvement in assortment. Now, if you can invest 0.7 to get more out of sales, more out of your customers in general, then that might look like a lot of money, but I think it's well spent. So very short, yes, we will try to monetize. I don't think it will cover everything, but it gives me insight into promo effectiveness, where I think there's a lot of money left, and I think it's a good investment overall. Then the drogery, which is a shorter answer, yes, of course, the drogery is profiting from the fact that the malls are closing or have been closed, or people do not like to go there, and therefore our standalone drogeries are popular. But if I look at the first, second, and third quarter, the growth in the drogeries is actually pretty progressive. And the third quarter was the quarter in which the consumer was, after the lockdown, acting different. There was no COVID anymore. And what I do think, and that's my conclusion, is we have shown an audience in the second quarter where there was no alternative, that actually coming to our drogerie store makes sense, is an experience that you would like to repeat. And that's what we see in the third quarter. And I expect that to continue in the fourth as well. Then the third question was on promo coverage, to which extent we are, what are suppliers sponsoring. Overall, the intention is, of course, to, as you do promo together, it's not that I, as a retailer, do promo, the supplier also does a promo, so he also has his budgets and his ideas of sales, and so overall, I think we should go and try to get with the promo a win-win situation, which means that you invest both a certain amount of money. And with the advanced analytics, we become smarter. We also know now to suppliers, listen, this is not a smart promo for you, and this is the discount that we think is better. But overall, 70% of our promo activities are covered by supplier funding. And as we do not really grow our promo intensity, and if you look at year on year, we're actually declining, that, of course, also delivers a bit more money. But the promo coverage last year was abominable, was very bad, very bad. So that's one of the biggest improvements that we have done this year. And then the last question is on the ROIs. When I arrived here in 2019, the 2018, I remember the first post-investment analysis arrived, and the 2018 stores were really, really, really very, very poor. And that was not because what the current management was doing was wrong, but what was not really getting a translation to the stores was the CVP and the category management changes. And I think that's what we have put in place. And since then, you see that remodelings, but also new stores, the hurdles that we have there are actually on the similar level. We expect that to be around 25% higher. And on average, we're reaching a higher level of ROI.
Thanks very much. Sorry, so the 25% higher. What's that? What is 25%?
It's the hurdle.
No. Oh, 25% ROI is the hurdle. Okay, got it.
And over time we might want to move that up or down depending on our accuracy, but for the time being we feel confident with 25%. We don't rock the boat.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
All right.
Do we have more questions?
And we have no additional questions at this time.
Then in that case, we would like to thank everyone for joining and listening us. And we'll speak to you again in the beginning of February on the fourth quarter and full year results. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's presentation. You may now disconnect.